podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I want to invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 40. In your pew Bible, that's page 400, Psalm 40. And we're really just looking at one concept from this psalm, but in order to put it in context of the whole psalm, we're just going to read the whole psalm. Psalm 40, follow along as I read through this psalm. It's a psalm about a new song that God has put into our mouth. Beginning with verse 1, Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased, O Lord, to save me. O Lord, come quickly to help me. May all who seek to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. Yet I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, do not delay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that you are a God who puts a new song into our hearts. This morning, as we look at your word, Lord, speak to us clearly. Father, challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing we know to be true is that new is not always better. You know that to be the case, don't you? New is not always better. For example, lately there have been a lot of song remakes. You know, you're riding along in the car with your kids, they turn on the radio, a song begins to play and they're singing along with it, and you say, wait a second, I recognize that song. I know that song. That song's from the 70s, that song's from the 80s, that song's from the 60s. They just took that song and redid it. I can sing along with that. Suddenly the song's not cool to your kids anymore. But you know, if you really want to aggravate your kids, what you do is you dig out the old version. You know you have it somewhere. You dig out the old version and you say, now this is what that song is supposed to sound like. And you play it for them and they'll roll their eyes and say, no, that's not it. That doesn't get it. That's not it. You know, sometimes new does not mean better. Sometimes the old is way better. But on the other hand, sometimes new is better. I've heard some of those song remakes, and I hate to admit it, but sometimes the new ones are a little catchier. They're a little better. So just to say that just because something is new does not mean that it's going to be better. Now, we are embarking on a new year. We're embarking on a new decade. And as I said, it's a new century for Quaker Gap Baptist Church. Hopefully, we're going to learn a new song. Now, that song that Stephen just started us with, that's not the new song that we're going to learn. It's a different kind of a new song. We're going to learn that new song too. But see, there's another new song that this passage of Scripture talks about. But you know, it's interesting that whenever you do sing a new song, and we experienced that this morning, sometimes it takes a little while for it to catch on. You know what I mean? You hear it for the first time, Stephen starts singing that, and you're going, well, that's all right. I didn't hear that on the radio, but it sounds good. And you start to, you know, all right, okay. Then you say, well, maybe on the second verse I'll try to come in. You know, I'll try to come in and sing along with this because I think I've got it now. And you come in, you sing a couple wrong notes, and you're like, okay, I don't have it yet. It takes a while, but eventually that new song finds its place into your heart. Do you know that every song that you sing, the songs that you sing every day that are in your mind and that you can't get off of your mind, sometime or another in your life, each one of those songs was new. Yeah, you weren't born with songs, okay? You heard them somewhere along the line and began singing them and got to know them. So you have to learn new songs in order to embrace the greatness, the classics, in order to hear something wonderful. It's kind of what Psalm 40 is about, in a way, is that new song. Question we might begin with is, well, what's the old song? You know, if David is saying, God has put a new song in my mouth, what is the old song that he was singing that needed to be replaced? Well, look at verse 2. He says that God lifted him out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. So apparently the old song was kind of slippery, had something to do with a miry pit. He couldn't even get up out of it himself because he was stuck in this slippery place. Verse 4 says that blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Apparently the old song is about pride. The old song is about selfishness. The old song is about false gods and putting your trust in things that you should not put your trust in, rather than putting your trust in God. Well, what else is the old song about? Look at verse 8. In verse 8 it says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Apparently, there was a time in the old song where David was singing a song and doing his own will, writing his own law, living according to the desire of his own heart rather than God's will and God's law and according to God's heart. Verse 12 says, for troubles without number surround me, my sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. David had become blind in the troubles of his sin. He had fallen in this slimy pit full of mud and mire and pride and false gods, doing his own will in his own way, avoiding the law of God, and had fallen into trouble from his sin. And he was in a trouble of his own making. And in verse 14, we hear that there were enemies included in this. There were haters, there were shamers, who were trying to tear David down. So you've got a picture of what this old song was all about that David had gotten caught up in. And he had been singing this song for some time in his life. It was a song of shame, a song of sin, a song of selfishness, a slippery song in a place where he could not, on his own, get out. He was stuck in that old song. So you think, well, anything would be better than that old song. In verse 17, he says, I'm poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You know, God, if you would just think of me, things would be better. Just think about me, the poor and needy one. Now, 2009 may have left an old song in your mouth. Maybe you've got an old song on your mind that you can't get off of your mind. I know this happened to us frequently walking through Disney World. You'll hear a song, and you'll sing along that song, you'll hear another song, and you just can't get the stupid song off of your mind. It just keeps replaying, and you're like, why am I singing this stupid song about Donald Duck or whatever it is? Just get that song out of my head. Maybe you've had that before, and that was where David was stuck here in this old song, and maybe you're stuck in an old song left over from 2009, a song that's been troubling you and bothering you. You need to replace it with a new song. By the way, that was you too up on the screen singing Psalm 40. Imagine that. That's from one of their earlier CDs. But they sang that song, and now that song's going to be on my mind all day long. But it's not a bad song to have on your mind, I don't think. I will sing a new song. What's the old song about for you? Maybe it's about disappointment or grief or sadness. Maybe it's about the consequences of your sin. Maybe you've just been feeling apathetic and complacent and lethargic and lazy and just tired lately. Maybe you've been too busy. Maybe you've been doing what everybody else tells you to do and not what God tells you to do. Maybe there are songs that others are singing to you that you're listening to and you don't have your own song. Maybe you have regrets and fear, and it's time for a new song for you. Well, let's look at the new song that David found here. That word, by the way, new song, is found 6 times in the Psalms. It's found 1 time in Isaiah and then 2 times in Revelation. So throughout the Bible, there are these instances where it says, sing a new song to God. In the book of Revelation, it says, they will sing a new song unto God. The new song, by the way, is not a literal song. It's just a metaphor for a new outlook. It's a new attitude. It's like you have a new leash on life. God has given me a new song, a new spirit. There's newness and freshness in my life as a result of that song that He's placed in my mouth. It's a song of hope, a song of peace, a song of goodness, a song of gladness, a song of faith, a song of passion and excitement and fervor. A new song that God has given me that motivates me and moves me to please Him and to walk with Him and to love Him more. A song that's on your lips from the moment you wake up until the moment you lay your head down on the pillow again. The song that keeps you plugging away even when times are tough, even when your heart is broken. It's a song that only God can put in your mouth. Look what it says, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock, gave me a firm place to stand, and He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. God is the one who did all the work. He's the one who pulled David out of the slimy pit. He's the one who placed David on the firm place, the rock. He's the one that put the song into David's mouth. All David said he did was wait patiently for God. The song, the new song, first of all, is a selfless song. It's a selfless song. Perhaps the opposite of what Frank Sinatra used to sing, and now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, and I saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and much, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all, and I stood tall, and I did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed, I've cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did it all. And may I say, not in a shy way, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man, what has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels, the record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Wow, is that what life's all about? Is that the dream? Doing things your way? Not according to David in this passage of Scripture. He says, when you are done singing your song in your way, your own tune, according to your will, in your time, then, and only then, when you come to the end of my way, will you be ready for a new song that God will place in your mouth. Verse 1, he says, I waited patiently. I waited patiently for the Lord. You cannot wait selfishly. It doesn't work that way. We've learned that at Disney World. You stand in a long line in the most crowded time you could ever be at Disney World over the holidays. You just wait. That's all you can do. You know, there's nothing selfish about it. You wait in line and you take 2 steps forward and 2 steps forward until you get to the front of the line. There's not a thing that you can do about that waiting. You just have to wait. You can decide, I'm not going to go on that ride. But what did you pay for? You stand in line and you wait. And maybe it's true also for you. When you go to the grocery store, you wait in a line. You know, you can't get up to the line and say, excuse me, I'm more important than everybody else in this line. Move out of the way. I'm first. Excuse me, this is the express lane. You're supposed to have 12 items and you have 13. Out of the way. This is for me. You can't do that. You wait in line patiently. If you're at the waiting room, at the emergency room, or at the doctor's office, you sit in a chair and you wait and you wait and you wait until somebody calls your number or says it's your turn to come in. You cannot wait selfishly. You have to wait upon someone else. At the restaurant, you've been to those restaurants where the food is delicious but the service is horrible, and you just sit and you wait for the food to come and it takes forever and you wonder if it'll ever show up. You know, you can't go back in the kitchen and say, come on, let's speed it up. You know, they're going to bring it to you on their time. So David says, I waited patiently for the Lord. That's selfless. Saying, God, in your time, according to your will, in your way, I will wait for you to rescue me. And he says in verse 6, God, you pierced my ears. You look at that and say, well, that's a little strange. God is not an ear piercer, is he? Well, there's two ways of looking at this. One way was that back in those days, servants had holes pierced in their ears in order to be recognized as servants. That perhaps David was saying here, God, I am your servant. You are the one who pierced my ear. Another way of looking at it, though, is to say, God, you bored my ears. You dug out my ears so that I could hear you. I was deaf to you, God, until you came and you dug out holes to make ears for me so that I could hear your voice. Again, it's not something David did. He said, God, you're the one who made it possible for me to hear your voice. Verses 7 and 8, he says, here I am, I have come, it is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O God. I'm done doing my will. I'm ready to do your will, O my God. In verse 13, he says, be pleased, O Lord, to save me. I can't save myself. I'm done trying to rescue myself. God, you save me. In verse 17, he says, you are my help. You are my deliverer. I can't help myself. I can't deliver myself. I'm done doing it my way, God. I turn myself over to you. I need you to dig new ears for me. I need you to put a new song into my mouth. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? Are you done singing that old song and ready to say, God, I surrender to you. I want to sing your song. I want your outlook. I want your attitude. I want the freshness of who you are to shine through me. Not only is it a selfless song, but it's a salvation song. Because he says in verse 2, God lifted me. Love lifted me. He put a new song in my mouth. Verses 9 to 10, he says, I proclaim your salvation, God. In verse 19, or verse 17, he says, you are my deliverer. You are the one, O God, who has rescued me from the despicable, horrible place where I was that I could not get out of. You are the one who grabbed me and lifted me and placed me in a new place. God, you are my creator. You are the lover of my soul. You are the one who cares for me more than anyone else cares for me. You are the one who has sent your son to die on the cross in my place so I could have a chance at eternity. You are the one who is writing the story of my life. You have so much more that you want to do through me. You have so much more, oh God. But you have to do it. And so I submit myself to you and I pray, O God, save me, deliver me, rescue me from myself. And the new song is also a secure song. It's a safe song because in verse 2, David says, you lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and you set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Verse 16 says that I'm going to be able to rejoice and be glad in the security, God, of where you have placed me and who you are. If there's one word that you might associate with 2009, at least if you listen to the media talk about it, it might be the word insecurity. Insecurity. Insecurity in jobs, insecurity in finances, insecurity in what's the government going to do, insecurity in what's going to happen with my health and what's going to happen with my health care, instability and insecurity across the board. You may have felt that way in 2009 personally. It may have filtered down into your world, but certainly you heard it through the media. What about 2010? You know, if you sing a new song, first of all, you're going to have to sing it selflessly. Second of all, you're going to have to turn to God and say, God, it is you who is my Savior. And then He will place your feet upon a rock where there is security in the place of insecurity. See, if you put yourself at the mercy of this world and the things that are taking place around you and the troubles that David talked about that were surrounding him, if you put all of your hopes and your dreams into the insecurity of this world, the bounce of the markets, what's taking place all around us, if you put your hope there, you're going to experience insecurity. But if you put your hope in a God who places your feet upon a firm rock, God who cares for you, loves you, has saved you, if you put your hope in Him and say, I'm done doing it my way, I'm ready to do it your way, you'll see and know what security is all about. All other ground is sinking sand. He is the solid rock. Sure, you still need a job. Sure, you still need money. Sure, there are still troubles taking place in the world around us that we hear about every day. Sure, the world is changing around us completely, but the song that God offers is a new song. It's an eternal song. It's a song that only He can put in your mouth. Because God, as opposed to all those other things, never changes. Never changes. So it's time for a new song. There is no hope. I'll never make it. That's the old song. The world is falling apart. We're going to lose everything. That's the old song. The new song? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The new song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The new song, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The new song, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That's the new song. That's the new song. Are we ready to surrender ourselves to God selflessly? Say, God, I'm tired of singing my song. It's gotten so stale and old and troublesome. It's not working for me. God, I want to sing your song. I want to sing your song. Come to Him in humility, in repentance. Say, God, I'm tired of wallowing in the slimy pit, the mud and the mire of my own making, my own sin. And oh God, I want to grab your salvation like I've never grabbed it before. I want to experience it in a new way. For some of you, that may mean that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior for the first time, that you recognize that He is your Savior and you say, I need you, oh God, to be my Savior from sin. For others of you, it may mean that you renew your commitment to Him and you say, God, I'm tired of the old song. I'm tired of the hopelessness. I'm tired of doing things my own way. I know that you have saved me. And so I come to you afresh, anew. And I say, God, I'm waiting patiently for you. I'm crying out for you. Will you place that song on my lips, that new song? And then take me from this miry, slimy, slippery place I've fallen into. Lift me up and put my feet in a place of security. Now maybe it's not security the way the world talks about security. Don't get me wrong. But it's security the way that God talks about security. That He wants to take you in your life and make you significant for Him. And to use you, body and soul, all of your giftedness, your strengths, your talents, everything that He has placed within you, He wants to take you, put a new song in your mouth, put you in a firm, solid place, and use you in a way that you've never been used before for Him. Are you ready to sing a new song? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for the experience of David, the psalmist. Lord, that he waited patiently for you, and he cried upon you. And Lord, that you met him in that place, and you lifted him, and you put a new song in his mouth. Father, I pray for any who are here, perhaps all of us who are here, who have found ourselves in some way in the miry clay, the slimy pit. We've allowed ourselves to sing an old song, a tired song. Father, how desperately we need your new song. So along with David, we pray, I wait patiently for you, that you might lift me, save me, put a new song on my lips. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.